me tonight to Numbers chapter number 21. Numbers chapter number 21 this evening. And I want to just look at a few verses tonight here in the Word of God. Numbers chapter number 21. And this is a famous chapter really primarily for one reason. And we're not going to read that portion of Scripture or look at that, but we will make mention of it tonight here in Numbers chapter number 21. And I want to read just a few verses, four verses tonight here in the Word of God. Numbers chapter number 21 and verse number 14 tonight. Numbers chapter number 21 and verse number 14. And that's where we'll pick up our reading. Numbers 21 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon, and at the stream of the brooks that goeth down to the dwelling of Ar and lieth up on the border of Moab. And from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes dig the well, the nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves, and from the wilderness they went to Mattanah." Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings upon our life. Father, I ask you, Lord, for liberty, God, to preach the Word of God tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, that you would strengthen us. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, as we endeavor to live for you. Pray, Lord, that you would touch and bless, Lord, this midweek service. I pray that you would strengthen us, Lord, by the Word of God. And Lord, help us to continue on, Lord, for your honor and your glory. Lord, if there's anybody here tonight, Lord, that's not saved, I ask you, Lord, that you would speak to their heart. God, that you'd reveal yourself to them. And Lord, I pray that you draw them to yourself. And God, may they put their faith and their trust in you. God, may they repent and, Lord, trust you tonight, Lord, before it's eternally too late. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you glorify yourself. And Lord, would you help us tonight in Jesus' name? Amen. And amen. Numbers chapter number 21. This chapter tonight, as we mentioned, by way of introduction, is a famous chapter. And maybe we've glossed over or we've read over, or maybe we even heard about these verses before us tonight. But really, what happens before in the chapter tonight, we know and we understand that the children of Israel murmured and complained. And they had complained for a lack of water. They're out there journeying onward, and God has used Moses to lead them out and lead them about. And like so many times before, and kind of characterized by these actions and the things that happen, they begin to complain and they begin to murmur, saying that we have no water. And the Bible says that they loathed this light bread. They made little of what God had provided and made little of what God had done, and it was not good enough for them. Kind of like what we talked about last time, where the land and the Lord and all of those things that God had provided was not good enough for them. And we see that God had Moses fashion a brazen serpent on a rod, on a pole. And that's where we get that great principle that they were to look and they were to live, and a wonderful picture of Christ and salvation. Even Jesus, when he was there in John chapter number 3, speaking to Nicodemus at night, he said that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, then so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up, and he's talking about being lifted up at Calvary, lifted up between heaven and earth, he said, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. As we sang about it tonight, the cross, hallelujah, that is the drawing power, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has been lifted up upon the cross, and what a wonderful picture this brazen serpent is of the message of the gospel tonight. But then, as we move through the chapter, we find this instance here, just in these few verses concerning the children of Israel here in the book of Numbers there they are going through, and they are battling. We're going to see later on that Sihon and Og and the victories that God would give the children of Israel there, and then some kind of strange things happen later on with Balaam and Balak and different things of that nature. But right here before us, just these few verses, kind of seemingly obscure, this is a big event for the children of Israel. And just as we mentioned, the brazen serpent being lifted up, being a picture of salvation, this instance here at this well, the Lord providing this water tonight is a wonderful picture of our sanctification tonight. Amen. And how many of us know this tonight, that once we are saved, the Bible talks about sanctification having its perfect work in the life of the believer, and that process of sanctification is God taking His Word and the prompting of His Spirit and making us more like Christ. Amen. Until that glorious day when we shall see Him and we shall be as He is tonight. Amen. We know, of course, there is positional sanctification. That is what the Lord does in us tonight. And then there is the practice of practical sanctification. We read the Word of God. We have the commands of God. There are barriers that are put up in the Word of God. There are do's and don'ts, if you will, and that is whereby we sanctify ourselves as we walk with the Lord tonight. Amen. But as we come to this text here, the children of Israel are, they're wandering, they're going through all of these different events. There is the stress of traveling and the stress as they are going about here, but we find here in the Word of God that God has a command for the children of Israel and has a command for Moses, and he tells him to gather all of them together, and God is going to provide something for them tonight. God says in verse number 16, he declares unto Moses that he is to gather the people together, and here's what he says. He said, I will give them water. We think about all of the different things that have taken place. They're wandering in the wilderness from Sinai to Kadesh and all up until this point. There are several things that have happened. The children of Israel have seen God provide over and over and over again. Not too far removed from this moment was the moment at Horeb where the people complained and they murmured, and God commanded Moses to take that staff and to hit that rock at Horeb, and the rock was smitten and the water came out, and God again is providing water. But this instance is far different than what we find there at Horeb. These were trying times for the children of Israel. These were difficult days for them. And before we throw them under the bus, as we are so quick to do tonight, I know I'm guilty of that. We characterize the children of Israel by unbelief. We characterize them by disobedience tonight. And of course, those things happened in their experience. But here upon the pages of the people of Israel's history is a positive instance. Tonight, they are singing the praises of God tonight, and they are showing us that we can trust God in the midst of trying times. And that's what I want to preach on tonight for just a few moments, on trusting God in trying times. Just as the children of Israel have their wandering about in the wilderness, we can look at them and we can see great principles and great pictures of the Christian life. Of course, they're led out of Egyptian bondage by a deliverer tonight. Amen. You and I have been brought out of this world's bondage by that great deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Moses was a mediator, Christ is our mediator. And Paul so eloquently declares to us that there is but one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus tonight. Amen. As they move through that wilderness, as they move out of that bondage, they come there to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh is at their back, and they're up against a wall, literally. They have absolutely nowhere to go, and they find out that God is delivering them. And over and over and over again, we see God providing for them. Ultimately, to get to the land of Canaan, to get to their promised possession tonight. Amen. And there is difficulty in their journey. There is difficulty in their lives. And just as there is difficulty in the life of the children of Israel, just as there is difficulty in their journey and in their wanderings, how many times do we find ourselves in the midst of difficulty? If you look at the wanderings of the children of Israel, I would dare to say, and it could have been good. God provided for them, and God wanted so much for them. But as we look at their life and their history upon the pages of the Word of God, I dare say tonight that there was more difficulty, and there was more negativity, and there were more shortcomings than there were victories tonight. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but God intends for us to live in victory. And I know that, and I realize that, and I read that upon the pages of the Word of God. But I have to admit tonight that sometimes I just don't feel like I'm up to par. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm living the Spirit-filled life. Sometimes I feel like a failure, and I feel the burden, and I feel the weight of life. And you feel the strain of the ministry, and you feel the pressure of finances, and you feel the burden of the family. And you throw your hands up. And you say, Lord, what am I doing wrong? But at the end of the day, that is just part of the human experience. That's just the way it is sometimes. I wish that I could stand up here like Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland and tell you that God wanted to give you $1 million. And if you want to give me $1,000 after the service and just try that tonight, I welcome you to do that. But listen, it's not all sunshine and roses tonight, amen. It's not all rainbows and lollipops, amen. It's not all good. There is great difficulty in this life that we live because we're in the flesh. Because we're dealing with other people. Because we ourselves are full of failure and we tend to murmur and complain and get complacent like the children of Israel did. But thank God there is a silver lining. And there is a bright spot. And there is good news tonight from the Word of God. Amen. Thank God tonight you and I can trust God in trying times. Amen. Often we're worried about the results of the election, or we're worried about the economic scene, or we're worried about several other things that are going on around us. But may God help us tonight to set our affection upon things above, to recenter our focus, and give Christ the preeminence in our heart and our life tonight. Amen. Thank God that we can trust God in trying times. Number one, I want you to see this. I want you to see the promise that is given. The promise that is given. Look what the Word of God says there in verse number 16. And from thence they went to Beer, that is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Amen. There is a promise that is given tonight. He said, I will give them water. Listen, the needs that we have tonight, because we are frail and because we are fleshly and because we can tend to complain and to murmur. Listen, we're often tempted to try to find help from the world. We're often tempted to find help from our friends and our family. Oftentimes we want to try to manufacture something in our life and fix the issue and the problem at hand. But the problem that you and I have tonight is that even though we are saved, we are fallen tonight. Amen. This stuff that we're wrapped up in, it's flesh and it's frail and it's dying and decaying every day. And so there's only one place that our help can come from. We can't help ourselves. Others may not be able to help us because of our depraved condition. There's only one that can offer us help, and it has to be help of a divine nature tonight. Amen. Listen, our help, as the Bible says, cometh from the Lord. And thank God, God has given them a promise. He said, Moses, if you'll just gather them together, he said, I won't, not maybe will I do it, not if all the circumstances line up. Boy, aren't you glad tonight for a God who is in the business of keeping his promises? He said, I will give them water tonight. I will provide for them just as I've done before. That same crowd that I delivered out of Egypt and a land brought them over the Red Sea and provided for them and gave to them. He says, I've not given up on them. I'm still keeping my promises. He said, I will give them water tonight. Amen. God has promised you and I, just like he did the children of Israel, God has promised to give the church exactly what she needs tonight. I'm glad where Paul said, now unto him that is able to give exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. You know what God wants to give you tonight? That's something from his heart. That's something from his glory. That's something only he has designed tonight. And he has promised to provide for those that are his own. It wasn't the children of Israel. They cried out by way of their affliction, but they didn't come and try to twist the arm of God. They didn't have to do anything like that. Listen, God delivered them out of his goodness and his glory tonight. Amen. We have the promise of the word of God that if God said that he would do something, that he will do it tonight. You remember when you took him up on his promise of salvation? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember as a 14-year-old boy, trusting the gospel, trusting Christ, and being born again on that Sunday morning. Amen. And the same God that saved me is the God who has provided and carved out a path tonight. Amen. And thank God, listen, all of the promises of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are yea and they are amen. Hallelujah. So we see the promise tonight. Thank God that we've got a promise. Thank God that we've got something that we can hang our faith on tonight. Amen. That we're not having to worry about and walk about and wander about in this world. Thank God there are some promises tonight. There are some absolutes. And you can trust God tonight. Amen. He said, I will tonight. Amen. But then not only the promise, but then I see the provision. Look with me there again in verse number 16. What did he say that he would give them? He said, I will give them water tonight. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago the smitten rock at Horeb. This is a very, very different situation than what took place there. There we find that the children of Israel are murmuring and they are complaining. They are threatening Moses. They are extending their hate and exercising their disdain not only towards Moses, but they're complaining against God. They're complaining against him, the things that he has provided. And it shows us a wonderful picture of the grace of God here. That as they had complained and as they had murmured, God commanded Moses to hit that rock and the water came out. In spite of their murmuring, in spite of their complaining, God would draw glory out of the situation and provide for them exactly what they needed tonight. Amen. He said that he would give them water in the text before us. Now, at Horeb, we find them complaining. But you know what's interesting tonight? Here in Numbers chapter number 21, we don't see them saying anything. There's no record of a need that has been presented here. And it's as if God just comes up and says, Moses, here's what I'm going to do. I want you to gather everybody together. I want you to come down here to this place, and I'm going to provide this water simply out of my goodness, out of my power. But it was not simply just out of his power. It was God's provision for the people. No, they did not ask it. No, they did not complain. No, there was not a need that was expressed. But God, out of his goodness, goodness. I told Moses to gather the people up, and he said, I want to give them drink. I want to give them water. I want to provide for them and their cattle and the herds and their families, and I want to be good to this crowd that I have called out of the world. Oh, how many times has God came to where we were and just poured out a blessing, and we didn't even ask for it. We didn't murmur and we didn't complain, but God gave us simply out of His goodness tonight. This was a tailor-made blessing. This was customized provision. It's just exactly what they needed tonight. And how many times has God blessed us? God gave us an increase, or God gave us surplus, or a little bit of extra money came in, or somebody just out of the kindness of their heart went by and bought you some groceries or bought you some meat or something. And then the next week comes and you realize something happened, and you realize that you would have been in the red, you would have been in the deficit, and you didn't even know what was coming down the line. Hey, but God knew tonight, amen, and He provided exactly what you need. And that principle that Jesus gave in the Gospels, it comes alive and it has great new meaning when the Father knows what we have need of before we ever even ask it tonight. God provides for those that are His own tonight. He knew exactly what they needed before they ever needed it tonight. Amen. And you can rest assured that the blessing is on the way. You can rest assured that God's provision is on the way. You might find yourself in the midst of a desert right now. Find yourself in the midst of trying times right now. But the God who shall not fail and the God who cannot lie sees your every movement. Amen. He knows exactly where you are, and He knows exactly what you stand in need of tonight. What an all-sufficient Savior that we serve tonight. Amen. We see the promise in them. We see the provision. But then notice with me the praise. Here's their response to what God said that He would do. The praise. They come and they say there in verse number 17. The Bible says, then Israel sang this song. Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. Now what is this? This is an act of faith. This is an act of anticipation tonight. Amen. But listen, there is worship that is taking place in their heart, and then praise is coming forth out of their mouths. Amen. And listen, that is the order of it. The contemporary movement, they get it wrong. It is not praise and worship. It is worship and then it is praise. Worship begins with a true heart of worship. Worship is something that takes place on the inside. And listen, true worship, maybe in some instances it can, but true worship is not always seen by the human eye. It is something that is taking place directional from you to God. You have a heart of adoration. You have a heart of worship. You have a heart of thanksgiving. You have a heart that is reciprocating what God has done for you, and you are worshiping Him in your heart, and that's wonderful and that's good. And if that was absent from your life or your heart, I would wonder that something would be wrong tonight. And that's wonderful that that takes place. But what's greater is this, is whenever that worship is manifested, whenever it comes out tonight. Three things quickly about worship, or excuse me, about praise. While worship may not always be vocal, I believe that praise is always vocal tonight. Amen. It is an outward manifestation of what takes place within the heart. It is vocal tonight. It is loud. The Bible teaches us in the book there of Nehemiah and Ezra that the people gathered around and they read the Word of God on the pulpit of wood, and the people stood and they reverenced as the man gave the sense of the Word of God. And the Bible says that all the people said, amen. Listen, what we're doing tonight, it's not something that's just hatched out of somebody's mind tonight. This is a biblical pattern. There is no mistake that as the seats are faced, all of the attention is based upon this place, upon where the word of God is preached, and in response to what we hear, and in response to what God has done, there ought to be praise tonight, and it ought to be vocal. But then tonight, can I say this, that praise is not only vocal, but praise is visible tonight. Amen. There is joy that is coming out. There is a manifestation of our worship. Hands begin to raise in thanksgiving to God. There is an expression of adoration that is given. It's vocal, it's visible. But then can I say this, that praise is validating tonight. Amen. It validates what we hear, and it validates what is said in the eyes and the minds of other individuals tonight. Oftentimes we'll have somebody work, and you know what it does? It makes me want to do that. It makes me want to give Him glory. It makes me want to lift up my hands in praise and in worship tonight, and it validates what we hear tonight. And so they gathered together, and they said, "Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it." This was a song, really, maybe even a prayer of expectation, of adoration, of faith tonight. And so we see the promise, the provision, the praise. And then I want to give you this and I'm done. I want to try to wrap all this up tonight. Verse number 18. The Bible says, "The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves, and from the wilderness they went to Mattana." So we see the promise, the provision, the praise, and then finally the principle. What does all this mean? How can we apply this to our own heart and our own life tonight? Well, I mentioned how they complained at Horeb. And certainly God, in His goodness, provided water out of the rock there, Horeb. And through those instances of their murmuring and their complaining and having to do without things in the wilderness, here's what they came to understand and here's what they came to know. They came to understand that God would provide for them and that God had their best interest in mind. And so when we talk about this representing sanctification, it's almost as if we read this and we look at this and we can see the principle very clear that the children of Israel, it's taken them a long time. They've been very hard-headed. No doubt Moses has been frustrated, and Moses is just, in some cases, been completely fed up with them. But thank God, here upon the pages of the Word of God, the children of Israel who murmur and complain and have not appreciated what God has done for them, here we find them not complaining. As a matter of fact, they obey the promise. They obey the command of God. They gather themselves together. They worship God. They praise Him. And there's not one complaint heard. There's not one negative attitude. There's not one decrying or disputing what God said. They're not beating up on Moses. They've just gathered themselves together to worship a God who they have finally realized who will provide for them. And there is a great principle in this tonight. Just as God told Moses to gather the people together and that He would give them water, so God has given us a pastor, and so God has given us a command that if we would gather the people together and we would come together tonight in one mind, in one accord, God said that He would give us water. Oh, the times may be trying. You may find yourself in the midst of difficulty. You may not know which way you're going to go. But if you'll come together with the people of God just one more time and sing praises unto Him, God has promised if we would gather just one more time, that He would give us water and give us exactly what we need on this life's journey tonight. Amen. We find over and over and over principles and pictures and instances of God allowing the children of Israel deliberately. Now, remember this, God deliberately withheld some things from them. Some of the things that were necessary to their survival and to their comfort, those basic needs, God willingly withheld those things from them. And you say, why in the world would God do that tonight? To get glory and honor out of their lives tonight to show them that He is the God who provides tonight. Amen. Thank God for the trial. Thank God for the difficulty. Thank God for the times that we're trying in our life. And we can look back in our life and we can see the lessons that God was teaching us, how He provided for us, how He blessed us, how He took a blessing and customized it and fit it and tailor-made it for the exact need that we had in that hour and that moment. God has provided us a Savior in Jesus Christ. He's provided us a mediator. He's provided a comforter in the Holy Spirit and a guide. And thank God, God continues to bless us. He has provided us with His Word. He has provided us with a church, a place to come and worship tonight. Would you come? Would you mind the Lord in the invitation? Whatever He has for you tonight, let's stand together.